From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. I am live at CPAC, Orlando, Florida, on this lovely day, counting my blessings one by one. And one of them is I got word from home there in Salem, Oregon, that our electricity finally, day 12, our electricity at our home went on. Isn't that funny? Here I go to CPAC and leave, and then the electricity at home goes on. That's pretty interesting. And some of you probably are now getting reconnected and getting your electricity up as well. And it is beautiful here in Oregon. CPAC is a wonderful conservative group of individuals that rally behind conservative values. Now, mostly, I will say a lot of Republicans, you know, it's nonpartisan in that there are conservative Democrats and conservative libertarians and a Constitution Party and all of that, really focusing on reinforcing our liberty and our freedom. And we're so glad to have you tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I am Stacy Ann, and we're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland with Sunderland Agency for being a morning show sponsor. He's with Country Financial. If you need any insurance, get a hold of Bill, 503-885-0789. And I had an opportunity to be on the air last hour, Political Coffee, with Jeff Kropp. Thank you so much, Jeff, for allowing us to be on there. And it's kind of interesting. I want to explain where we're at. This is really kind of the kickoff day. Yesterday was day zero. Today is the kickoff day. Tonight, the reception with the reception and a greetings. And then tomorrow, it officially starts with all the breakout sessions. Now, let me tell you, with this being the kickoff day, there's a lot of momentum going on. This media row where we're sitting at, there's several booths. I bet there's over 40 broadcasters from all over America, from TV to radio to blogging and vlogging and all of that going on, capturing the information so that we can get it back to our constituents back home to let them know how we can stay engaged in the process and what's actually happening. And, you know, living in this culture that we're living in, this censored culture, right, the whole theme is Uncensored America. And it's just incredible. And so I am thrilled to introduce to our friends. Of course, she doesn't need an introduction. She has become a dear friend of mine, and she is here. She's the one that encouraged me to be here and said, hey, maybe you could broadcast from CPAC. It's Amy Ryan Corser. Amy, hello. How are you?
Good morning, Stacy. I'm excellent and thrilled to be here.
So glad to have you here. And, you know, when we talk about rallying around our common virtue and values of liberty and freedom, when you get here and you see other people just gearing up, what are your thoughts? What's your initial gut reaction?
Well, to have everyone in one place with so much enthusiasm and so many great attitudes and people who are excited, genuinely heartfelt excitement to be a part of something bigger and be a part of the solution is very, very exciting for me.
Well, and there's a lot of network that goes on. Yesterday, you and I were by the pool. yeah, we were working. I'm just saying, we were by the pool.
Isn't that where all the good networking happens?
That's exactly kind of behind the scenes. And what was really amazing to me is that we ran into a gal who is a kind of a grassroots organizer, and she introduced us to other individuals who are working on getting information, gathering information on candidates, and they were thrilled to meet you and know about you running in Oregon, right?
That's right. They were they're a new group that has got a, and I wish I could remember the name. I didn't bring their, but I think you're going to have them live, and so I know you'll give them more information. But it's almost like Yelp for candidates, mm-hmm. To find out who are our true grassroots candidates, who are our true conservative candidates. I think they rate them a little bit to see kind of where they fall in their spectrum of their system. And then it shows people in their area by zip code who they should be voting for, who they recommend voting for, who's a true conservative patriot.
And a real tool to help people understand why people are running, what their values, what they want to do. And something I've noticed about in your campaign since your announcement, You really are, your messaging is good. Talk to us about your theme of this campaign.
Oh, thank you, Stacey. That's really sweet. So, you know, we have always felt very strongly that we were a fighter for the people. We were a fighter to be that voice in Congress. That's the goal, obviously, the end goal. But at the same time, you're a voice as we're, even as a candidate, we're being a voice. And what we felt like was we would take maybe a softer approach moving forward. I feel like there's so much anger in politics right now. We didn't really want to be associated with that anger because we sure don't feel that way. And I say we, meaning my whole campaign team and volunteers. We're all servants of the heart and servants of the people. And so we have taken the approach that we are champions for the people and for everyone, because, you know, we hear often that we need to unite, but I also think we all have a lot of common ground. So let's start in a respectful manner with the common ground, and how can I champion, and as I'm listening to everyone, I'm campaigning for the needs and the voice of Oregonians.
And that really is resonating when you think about where we're at right now, and with the fast erosion of the things that we accomplished over the last 4 years on the federal level. You're running for a federal office. We need people in the House, in the Senate, who are going to champion the causes of that that we're facing back home, and we're going to, in the next few years, have some economic things that we're going to have to address. There's some real serious legislation that could be threatening our viability in Oregon,
and right.
So I know that you're looking at those things. Here at CPAC, you have an opportunity to network. What are you hearing? Are you connecting with other candidates, other potential candidates?
I am on the lookout for other candidates. I've connected with a few. I'm waiting to come in that have not arrived yet. I think all of us candidates need to stick together and really talk and share inspirational what's happening, how they're running their campaigns, what are they doing that's well. Let's use the successes, excuse me, to share and help each other be successful. And because we are like-minded and we all have the same goal, which is to flip the House. I have had some great networking opportunities. I actually did meet with a great candidate last night. She's in Austin, Texas, and I had just such a great opportunity to talk to people about what they're passionate about. Why are they running? And I love hearing those stories because that's how we got here. We all have a story, right? And so yesterday I was honored to have a great conversation with Mr. Matt Schlapp, who is the president of of CPAC. And I've met Matt before, and talk about heart and passion and someone who's out fighting the good fight for the country, really. And so, and I know we got to spend a little bit of time with him again at the pool.
Yes.
You never know who you're going to see at the pool. So what an honor to be able to have that conversation and with him and his wife. So,
well, and the integrity and the kind of folks that are here, we have the Freedom Foundation, Heritage Foundation, Leadership Institute, a lot of great organizations that come together to network and bring support to these candidates. And it was interesting. There was a point, the little gal, I think her name was Jessica, she was kind of interviewing you. And and I'm like, I wonder if she's media. Who is she? You know, and I got kind of like, oh, maybe we need to be careful here. Maybe it's one of those gotcha girls, you know.
Sure.
And it's just a reality of the world that we live in these days.
That's,
you know,
right.
We have this Oregon night where everybody is our friend, we want to connect, and we realize not everybody coming towards us has those same values or agenda. And so that's the downside of probably campaigning. And I know certainly even in the last election, you had to have security and things like that. Have you experienced much of the censorship that so many have experienced? Because this whole CPAC theme is uncensored, right? Uncanceled.
Right. I have not. A lot of my posts and my social medias have been very well thought out and not aggressive. So I feel like I've done a good job trying to find a balance, still be a voice and talk about the issues, but at the same time not be an instigator. There's an art there to be learned, and I'm definitely learning and struggling every day to make sure I find that balance. So I have not been uncensored. I have lost a lot of followers who have had their accounts canceled, both on all different platforms. And we're looking at new media, social media platforms, because there's a lot of new things happening out there. So we're trying to be versed in that. I do receive negative emails and hate mail And we're going to turn that into something interesting to do. We're going to start a new TikTok account. I've never done that before, but I think we're going to resonate with some new voters there that we haven't reached in the past. And so I think that'll be one of the improvements moving forward with the campaign. And there's so much negative, so I want to put a positive spin on it and really make it something lighthearted.
And that's really important because, friends, we're in a situation right now where we've got to get engaged. And many of us attended last weekend. Chris-Ann Hall did a training in town in Salem and said, you know, it's good to educate and get the information, but we also need to be activated at the same time. We're losing ground if we just wait to have a committee and get organized and think about what we're going to do. No, we need to get engaged now. What would you say to that person who's thinking about running for a local election, like a school board or maybe council or commissioner? Because I think that really is a message too. Get involved where you're at. What would you say to that person?
Oh, I would wholeheartedly support that person who was willing to put themselves out there. It's an ugly time to be in politics on all levels. And so when you see a candidate who's willing to step up to the plate, especially school board, our youth and our issues in our schools right now are something we have never seen. I never thought in my lifetime I would see the issues that we have. So I'm excited to support local school candidates, everything from the school board to city to government to, you know, to having a voice in your own backyard. I always say and encourage people, follow your passion. What are you passionate about? Because that's where you're going to put your time and energy. And really, we're all servants, you know, that in the community that it's unpaid. And so most of those positions are unpaid. So you better love what you're doing and be passionate about it. But I also think that's a good point moving forward is we could do a better job as Oregonians and people who are in leadership positions to encourage and support younger candidates and people who are interested.
Well, and when I see here at CPAC, maybe you've noticed it, you notice a lot of just out of college age getting involved in conservative causes and organizations. So I'd say early 20s, maybe early up to early 30s, and I'm encouraged by that.
Right. I've never seen so many young people in one place that are so enthused, and they're professional, and they're, you know, they're sharp dressers, and they're excited to be here, and they're putting their A game on, and kudos to them because it's wonderful to see. And we have that, even our own, I want to put a shout out, our own Oregon Republican group is here, and bless their hearts. They take their own time and resources and finances to come and be part of the process, and so that they can learn and share that information and come back to Oregon and be better for Oregon as well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And when we think about what's important and standing for our liberty, not only for our time and our livelihood here, but future generations, that's really what it's all about. They think the hokey pokey is what it's all about. No, no, no. That's what it's all about. I'm so glad, Amy, that you had a time to stop in and say hi to me this morning. And I certainly, what's one takeaway that you're hoping that you'll take home with you after this conference?
Well, I don't have just one goal. I actually have a list of goals. If you know me, I'm a planner, and I've got my notes out. I've been making them for weeks. I've been so excited to come. I think the one takeaway is, how do we unite as a party? How do we move forward and be great and help other people be great so that we can all work together for the common platform of being a Republican and being a conservative voice with those values and sharing those? Because I think we need to do better to bring more people into the party, and we need to do better at encouraging people to be engaged.
So. And I think you're spot on there. I think we need to keep standing strong for the values, because the values and the platform of the party are fantastic. We need to stay strong in the party. And I'm encouraging our non-affiliates, unaffiliates, to get engaged in a party, because we can be most effective that way. I'm so glad to have you here. Thank you for stopping by. I hope you have a fantastic time.
It's a blessing to be here with all of you today.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this fantastic CPAC Thursday. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. Hello, Stacey. I'm hanging out with you from Orlando, Florida. I'm trying not to rub it in too bad, but it's going to get up to 80 degrees today. Salem, you're going to see maybe 44 degrees today, partly cloudy sky. And I'll try to bottle up some of the sunshine and bring it home. What do you think? Put it in a suitcase. I think that'll be fun. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and I'm blessed to be here at CPAC this year. And I was just looking at the calendar. You know, things kick off tonight. There's a welcome reception tonight sponsored by Fox Nation, and they kind of have a chance for us to kind of get rallied up and get going. And then everything, there's breakout sessions, there's main speakers, and it's phenomenal. I put a link up on our Facebook page, and you can click on it and see the agenda. Really excited. At the end on Thursday, towards the end, about 3:40, President Donald Trump will be speaking, former president. I still call him president. He's my president. He will be speaking on Sunday, but also Governor Kristi Noem will be speaking out of South Dakota. Of course, she's a friend, and I'm looking forward to connecting with her. And so it's just an packed agenda, and this is kind of the first day kicking off, or sometimes people call it day zero kicking off. And it's been fun to network. Yesterday, had an opportunity, as you might have heard in the last segment, Amy and I had an opportunity hanging out by the pool. We met some incredible people, and I had an opportunity to meet this gentleman. His name is Adam. Hello, Adam. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to have you lean into that mic a little bit more. There you go. You know, you're all right. Adam, you are with an organization that you're just kicking off. You're part of this groundbreaking movement called Go USA. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again. So Grand Opportunity USA, or Go USA, is primarily focused on opportunity, resetting the Republican message and the values that we all really appreciate about the, being Republicans, and kind of the things that bring us together at the end of the day. You know, we're trying to rise above the personality conflicts that we have in the party and really present a message of opportunity and kind of looking forward to the future.
Well, and you know, I was talking a little bit about our Republican values and how it's important that we stay in the party and that we draw others and say, this is why, this is what a Republican is. This is the platform. These are the, if you are a person who believes in faith and family and independence and Constitution and the pro-life, all of the gun rights, Second Amendment, all of those things, then you need to take a serious look. Don't get caught up in the personalities and what the media tries to say about Republicans. And what I love about this effort is it's like a new opportunity to really resonate and find these candidates and then promote them, right, of who lines up with true Republican values.
Absolutely. So it's a two-step process, right? We have to evaluate who's already in office and based upon, you know, how they stand up for opportunity, really, at the end of the day, whether or not they're getting in the way of the average American, or they're helping the average American through their representations in Congress, or at the, even a more local level down the road. You know, that's kind of a longer term project. And so, you know, we're looking at it in like a holistic sense. And like we've been saying already, it's about the message, it's about the people, and but it's not the personality conflicts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, opportunity is so important. You know, we love being who we are because we support one another in their growth and their positive growth and their our ability to, you know, actually be Americans and come together as Americans. And that's what being here at CPAC is really about.
Well, what I love about it is it highlights the fact that these candidates are going to do what they say they're going to do. And I have a saying, under promise and over deliver. And you just don't see enough of that in some of the entrenched, I call, Republicans, right? And so this is an opportunity that we'll be able to expose not only voting records and where, what were they saying on one side of their, you know, when they're one place, and what were they actually doing when the rubber hit the road, right?
Absolutely. And so, you know, it's kind of even more basic than that. And, you know, our principle for us operating principle is brilliance in the basics, really. Mm. And it's like, do just what you say you're going to do, not say what you're going to do and then not do anything about it. You know, various different issues are facing us. And, you know, when we saw President Trump run for office, that was the real thing. That was, it felt very real because we finally had someone who was an outsider who became president, who was willing to talk about the issues that affect everyday Americans. And we need to institutionalize that. And that's what Go USA is trying to do.
Well, and when you think about the approval rating right now of Congress and the Senate, you know, there's a reason why. Is being a politician and saying one thing and doing another, people are on that. They're like, and the how we've used social media and how we've gathered and found alternative media or gone back to radio, right? Because it counters the message we've been spoon-fed through the media. So how are you evaluating these candidates to find out, you know, new candidates coming and then those that are currently, what are you using as a tool?
So we have five major criteria, and in underneath them, those are further elaborated in terms of how we break out, you know, whether someone's commitment to economic opportunity and employment and all these kinds of things. You know, it goes into a very granular detail. But at the end of the day, it's about these five major points. We evaluate the candidates based off these five major points, and we, you know, give them a rating of negative five to positive five. Because it's not a question of zero to five, because there's people who are actually inhibiting opportunity out there for people. So we have to, we not only have to identify people who are not being productive, but also people who are being directly harmful to what, you know, what the average American really wants, which is opportunity to grow out there.
Well, I think this is fantastic. Is there a website that people can do some research and find out about more about your efforts here?
Absolutely. So our website is go-usa.us.
Okay, and we'll make sure that's up on the show plan too, so people can click on that link and be able to go and find out a little more. We're going to be going into break real soon. I'm curious if you can stick around with me for a little bit, and I want to talk a little bit about economics. Are you willing to talk economics with me?
Absolutely, I look forward to it.
Okay, well, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, and I want to remind you, friends, that we will be podcasting this. It'll be up on our website at kslm.news. You can certainly go back and listen to the broadcast here from CPAC. You can grab those links and share with your friends and family on your social media platforms. We've got lots of interviews coming on. We're going to continue to talk about economics, and then we're going to talk a little bit about some gun rights. Got a gentleman as well talking about where we are with our gun rights. I'm excited to be here at CPAC, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, continuing on with the spirit of freedom and liberty, and reminding you, friends, that you and I, we together, we are making a difference. And don't forget, if you've not signed up for the Biblical Citizen Biblical class that's going to be at People's Church this Sunday at 11:30, you still can do so, patriotacademy.com. And also, there's lots of things going on. 40 Days for Life is continuing on with their prayer at Planned Parenthood. You can join them as well. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, broadcasting live from CPAC 2021. We'll be back after this. Morning to you, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, broadcasting live right here from Orlando, Florida at the CPAC conference. And I have to kind of describe to you what I'm experiencing, because I know you can't see. Maybe later I'll do some Facebook lives and some video, but we're on Media Row, and there's probably about 40 different booths where people are broadcasting, and it's not, you don't get the booth all day. They rotate you in and out. So I don't know. I'll have to ask Dave how many actually broadcasters are here, and we're spreading the good word of what's going on here, and we're networking. And I'm delighted to introduce to you John. And John, welcome to the show, to our wonderful show. And you just introduced yourself to me, and you have such an incredible background. Talk to us a little bit. Welcome to the show, and talk to us about your background and what you've been doing and what you're doing now.
Well, thanks for having me on, Stacey. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm an economist by training. I've been an academic most of my life. I've had positions at Stanford and Wharton Business School and Yale and University of Chicago. Most recently, I was at the U.S. Department of Justice dealing with crime issues, basically data and research. And now I'm president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, which is a group of academics that do research on guns and crime type issue on policing. And so, you know, I'm happy to talk about any of those types of issues and kind of, as you say, one of many people going up and down Radio Row here doing interviews. So
well,
it's
here's,
nice to meet you.
Here's what's interesting, particularly in Oregon right now. You may or may not know this, but there is legislation proposed in at the Capitol, and they're holding legislature. It's closed to the citizens. And right now we had a huge ice storm about 2 weeks ago, right before Valentine's Day, where a lot of Oregonians didn't even have power, let alone cell service or internet access. And the legislators, they closed down for a couple days, but they picked right back up, even though, so people have been shut out in a sense of the process of talking about their Second Amendment rights and things like that. Well, today in Monday, they had a conference and they had hearings, and people testified as well as they could through online and writing in, right, and all of that. Their bill that they're proposing, the best way I understand it, is for concealed carry individuals. They've already permitted, they have guns, they're trained, whatever, that there'll be certain areas that they cannot go into. They'll be prohibited from going into gun-free zones. And if they are, even with concealed carry and all those permitting things, they could get a felony. Now, here's the ironic thing about what's going on in Oregon. We have a super majority, right? So even Republicans or independents, anybody who's elected, it's basically goes through, and it'll get, these things get passed without really listening to the citizens and what they want. Are you seeing this kind of legislation being introduced under this administration? Is it real prevalent? Are we going to see these kinds of things? And what can people do?
Right. Well, first of all, let me just comment on gun-free zones. You know, we've done a lot of work at the Crime Prevention Research Center on that. If you look at mass public shootings, 94% of the mass public shootings take place where civilians are banned from having guns. These killers may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. They know if they go to a place where victims can't defend themselves, they're going to be more successful in going and killing people. And the problem is that these gun-free zones actually serve as a magnet. Because what happens is the law-abiding good citizens who obey the rule. But the people who want to go and kill people know they want to go to that place. Mm-hmm. And just because you say, you know, I'm not going to allow you to have a gun here, you know, that doesn't stop somebody from doing it, particularly if they know they're likely to die in the attack. You know, anyway, you know, what are you going to do to them after they've committed suicide? And, you know, it's really unfortunate that many states are actually moving the other direction over the years. You can look at the number of capitals, state capitals around the country that allow people to carry, or schools. There are 20 states now that allow teachers to carry guns. Oregon actually has a relatively good law in that respect, but the problem is that a lot of teachers' unions and school boards have written in contracts that say that if a teacher carries a permanent concealed handgun there at school, then they'll be fired, even though they're not violating any law that's there. You know, recently we did a report that looked at all the school shootings in the United States from 2000 through 2018, looking at anything from an accidental discharge all the way up to mass public shooting. And what you find is that no attack has occurred, not one single attack has occurred where you've allowed teachers to go and carry guns at school. And you know, again, it's not particularly surprising. Look, you can have a police officer there, but if you have a police officer who's in uniform, they have a very difficult job stopping these mass public shootings. Because if you're the attacker and there's one officer there in uniform and you believe he's the only person there with a gun, who do you go after first? Because you know if you take that person out, then you have free reign to go after everybody else who's there. And so it actually makes the job of the officers more difficult, riskier. If you have concealed handgun permit holders there and the attacker were to go after the officer first, he reveals his position. He has to worry that somebody behind him or to the side, who he doesn't even know, might be there and armed. is going to be able to go and stop him at that point. So it makes it riskier for the attackers.
So when you think about proper policy and legislation that really is effective, it sounds like the organization that you're heading up now is looking at real practical solutions to fight crime. What are some points? Where should we as citizens be looking at to prevent, certainly I believe, getting your concealed, still carrying, being an active citizen that way? What are some other effective ways?
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, the most basic thing for stopping crime is you want to make it riskier for criminals to go and commit crime.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make it riskier for criminals to go and commit crime in obvious ways. You increase the arrest rates and more police. You prosecute criminals and sentence them to longer prison sentences. That makes it riskier from doing. Or you make it so that the victims are able to go and defend themselves. That also makes it riskier mm-hmm. for criminals to go and commit crime. You know, it's not rocket science that you have here. When you have cities around the country that have ordered police to stand down
mm-hmm.
or prosecutors refusing to prosecute people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a shock that you're going to have more crime that occurs there? You know, it's not a difficult thing to go and figure out. You know, Chicago, only 20% of murders result in an arrest. And if you're talking about gang murders, it's even much lower than that. It's probably in the single digits for gang murders that result in a conviction. Well, you know, nationwide, it's over 60%. Of murders result in arrest. You know, is it a surprise that you're going to have a lot more murders in Chicago when gang murders in particular are very unlikely to result in any type of conviction?
That's exactly what we saw in Portland with the riots so many times, that the DA would not prosecute. They get released back out
and
into
the
streets.
Weren't allowed to do their
and
job.
And they weren't allowed to do their job. And here's the frustrating
part. And that's the reason
part.
Why gun ownership increased so much this last year.
Do you have stats on that? It just makes sense that it has increased.
Well, I mean, we can look at sales
mm-hmm.
of guns. They had record sales from like during most of the year. In fact, virtually everything from like March on had record gun sales. We're continuing to see record sales this year. Concealed handgun permits now at end of last fall was about 20 million. The interesting thing is that a number of states stopped issuing concealed carry permits during the virus.
Mm.
Basically, the states run by Democrats
mm-hmm.
stopped issuing permits.
Wow.
And because they said, well, you know, we can't take fingerprints or we can't
mm-hmm.
have people come in or what have you. But you still saw a substantial increase, but the increase occurred in the states that didn't shut it down.
When you talk about incentive, when you just kind of went through that list of making sure that crime is down, one of the things in Oregon they're doing too, the governor is closing prisons and making sentences, lightening sentences. So again, you think about the incentive of not to do a crime.
Right.
The other thing that they just did is through the legislature is they made it only $100 penalty to have heroin or be caught with drugs, you know, on you. And so what a lot of citizens in Oregon are concerned about, that's going to be a calling card. You know, you only get busted at $100 fine if you have these drugs, you know. And do you have any stats on the criminals doing the crimes, if most of them are using or any indication tied to drugs with the violent crimes and the crimes? Do you have any of that kind
of
data?
The thing about a lot of the murders in the United States are drug gang related.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing, if you go and look at murders in the United States, over half the murders take place in 2% of the counties. And if you ever look at what's called a murder map, which shows, you know, a dot where the different murders occur within those counties, about 2/3 of the murders in those counties occur in basically 10 block areas.
Mm-hmm.
So murders in the United States are very heavily concentrated in very tiny areas. And people don't appreciate what a large impact drug gang violence has.
Mm-hmm.
Directly or indirectly in those areas. So the United States has a drug gang problem. you know, obviously a country like Mexico has a murder rate that's about six times higher than the murder rate in the United States. And that's obviously overwhelmingly drug gang related mm-hmm. type of violence that's there. You know, it's kind of a complicated situation in the sense that I'll give you a comparison. You know, the highest murder rate we probably ever had in the United States was 1932. Mm-hmm. And then it fell by 60% over the next 2 years. There's a pretty obvious explanation for what happened. 1932 was last year Prohibition.
Mm.
When Prohibition ended, you didn't have the same incentives for the mob to fight against each other in order to try to control, you know, distribution of alcohol. In different areas.
It's really interesting, the times that we live in. Is there a website that you operate from and your organization?
Right. People can find more at crimeresearch.org for the Crime Prevention Research Center, but just at crimeresearch.org.
Well, I'm so glad that you stopped by today. It's certainly a resonating with our listeners. Safety in our messaging, making sure that we're safe is important in security. Thank you so very much, John. You have a wonderful CPAC.
Well, thanks for having me on.
All right.
Good luck.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, broadcasting live from CPAC, Orlando, Florida. So glad to have you along. We'll be back after this. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, broadcasting from Orlando, Florida at the CPAC conference. And boy, it's revving up. Momentum is growing as we continue to connect with one another, network over here for conservative constitutional causes. And I am so thankful for our morning show sponsor. I want to say thanks to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Give Dave and Paige a call if you're looking to buy or to sell, 503-939-7099. And in our effort, friends, to continue to encourage, educate, and engage you with news that you can use, I am so excited to connect with Jason Dudash with the Freedom Foundation. And Jason is an Oregonian, and he's here working for the Freedom Foundation cause. Jason, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness, what a fun morning, huh?
It sure has been. You know, we were without power for 8 days and with 2 inches of ice everywhere last week, and now we're here in sunny Florida.
It's hard not to rub it in with our friends back home, huh? Right? But there is such a liberty cause going on right now.
Yeah.
I love the theme, America Uncanceled, mm-hmm. right? So talk to us a little bit about your organization and what you hope to gain through being at CPAC.
Well, as you and your listeners know, our organization exists solely to take on government unions.
Mm-hmm.
They're the biggest bullies, not in our state, but in the nation as a whole. And they are the biggest influence in politics. It's a real issue when you have unions that are taking money directly off of public employees' paychecks and then funneling it straight into political causes that they may or may not agree with, but certainly have nothing to do with workplace representation. So we educate public employees about how to stop that from happening, and then we help those who want to leave do so, and we've been very successful at it.
Tell me about some of the cases that you've won, or maybe that you're in the middle of right now, going on either locally or nationally.
That's a long list.
Is it?
Yeah, we're essentially operating a law firm now. We have 10
Fantastic.
In-house attorneys. We're currently in 65 active cases along the West Coast against government unions, two of which are headed to the Supreme Court, which is going to be very exciting. But we should have one of our attorneys come on and talk to you more specifically
about that.
But
yes.
I think today, and what a lot of people are going to be talking about here, what a lot of people in our community are talking about, are schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it's the celebration of online learning today. And it's a really, really terrible thing what specifically teachers' unions have been doing to our students. Mm-hmm. You know, this last week I was in a school board meeting for over 3 hours of just parents that are so upset. And for the most part, the schools that I've been visiting with, the administration, the teachers, all want to be there. They want to be there with our students. And it's the state and the union that's tying their hands and telling them they can't be.
Well, and certainly I've been been talking, and our listeners know how I've had Suzanne Gallagher with Parents' Rights in Education, mm-hmm. and we've been stating how important it is that we attend these school board meetings, that we get the right people elected on the school board that are going to not push parents and their perspective out of the way too. Yeah. And it does seem like somehow the unions are giving marching orders to these teachers. Mm-hmm. And so you're working on that on the front lines, and you're growing, your organization's growing. How many states are you in, or how does that work?
Currently we have offices in 5 states, Washington, Oregon, California, and this last year we expanded into Ohio and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And we will be expanding more shortly.
Okay.
And there'll be more on that later.
And you have an office right in Salem, I believe.
That is correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So how do people find out more, get involved? How do the local people support you, or what is their role in all of this?
So we're a nonprofit. We're a 501c3. We're entirely funded by people like your listeners and other people that support the work that we're doing. So donations are always accepted, and they can be given at freedomfoundation.com. That's where you can go to keep up with everything that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And learn more.
So oftentimes, if it's a teacher or someone within the education is supposed to be represented by the union, mm-hmm. if they have a situation in which they feel that they've been violated, then they bring that to you all, and then you'll determine if you'll get involved, if this is a situation you can represent.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
And we do that. We do that very often. As I said, we're in 65 current cases. All of those are representing public employees. They don't pay a dime for the representation. So it's all, they certainly appreciate it, and it certainly makes a difference.
What kind of word of encouragement would you give to someone? Because I found moving back to, I'm an Oregonian, and then I moved away, and I come back, and I where I've lived has not had strong unions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a lot of people afraid to get involved politically because they work and they have a union. What would you say to those people about their rights and liberties to be involved in the process, to be vocal about their views and things? What would you say to them about being for education or encouraging them where they're at?
Yeah, they need to speak up mm-hmm. because there's a lot more people in their workplace that are thinking the exact same thing, but they're all too intimidated. That's exactly what I think I said at the offset, is they're bullies. That's all the union is. And the only reason they're as strong as they are today is because they're intimidating people into leaving and not speaking their mind. But so, if enough people can just get that, it's always a snowball effect, right? Where one person has the courage and strength mm-hmm. to stand up, and then the employees see that the world didn't cave in on them like the union said it would, and then more people start doing it. And that's where we start seeing rolling and more people opting out every time.
That's spot on. It's that peaceful noncompliance. Mm-hmm. And when you look at, and I would say when you look at your regulations or agreements to the union, when you consent or whatever, mm-hmm. you're sometimes writing off those rights, but you still have those rights, and mm-hmm. you do need to be strong. You need to stand, get 2 or 3 people. And if you have an incident where you feel like you've been violated or you're being bullied, get a hold of the Freedom Foundation. What is your website?
Freedomfoundation.com.
Freedomfoundation.com. And do you have a ongoing, like, monthly newsletter or things
yep.
that go out?
We certainly do. We can sign up for our emails at the same website.
Okay. And what are you doing here at CPAC? Are you sponsoring?
We're a sponsor. Yep. We got a booth. Come see us. We got some awesome shirts, and we'll be doing some fun giveaway. Yeah,
oh,
we sure will
goodness.
Be.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be by. Well, I'm so glad to have you a part of the show this morning and stopping in. We should schedule a whole hour when we get back to Salem.
Okay.
Will that be all right?
Sure. Let's do
all
it.
All right. So glad to have the Freedom Foundation here on the show with us this morning. We're continuing the conversation, friends. It is amazing to see the momentum and all the setup going on here at CPAC. And I want to remind you, if you have some comments or you have a question, you can certainly email me. And believe it or not, I can check my email here in Orlando, Florida. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. And we'll be broadcasting again tomorrow live from here. It'll be from, I'll be checking in with Jeff's show starting at 7 a.m. And then my show will be from 8 to 9. And so we'd love to hear from you. I want to remind you, too, that this broadcast that we've had today will be up on our website as a podcast. You can grab that link, certainly, and put it on your social media, share it with your friends and family. We're going to be doing some updates. I'll turn into the roving reporter now, where I'll be doing Facebook updates and pictures and keeping you posted. So I encourage you to find us on Facebook, like us there, or you can find my personal Facebook page, Stacey Ann. Good morning, Stacey Ann. You can find me there. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, on the agenda tonight at CPAC kicking off. at 7 p.m. is the reception, and then we'll be ending on Sunday with President Trump. Well, I guess it's former President Trump. President Trump will be here at CPAC giving a speech, and all of us are on the edge of our seats wondering, is he going to announce here that he's running for re-election? And so there's lots to do. We're going to continue to get you the best interviews live here at CPAC. So thankful for you tuning in. And I want to say, you know, if we don't stand strong now and unite together, truly unite. I mean, that seems to be a message that's going on right now. Oh, we need to be united, but really be strategic and get together and network and unite. We can take our country back. We can make America great again. And we do it with you and I and making momentum in a positive direction. Thank you so much for tuning in. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow morning. God bless the USA. Ooh.